Hey guys, welcome back to Unleashed. And this is the beginning of June, and man, we are so glad you are here. Eric, we had a meeting probably about a little over a year ago about doing this podcast. And
yeah.
I think it was, where are we? I think this is episode, like, is this 47? I got to look and see. But you told me at the beginning, you said, you know, most podcasts only last, you know, like a half a dozen podcasts and they're done. But you said, if you can hit 40, well, we're past it. And I thank you so much for, guys, Eric has put in so much work. Every single week he is in here getting everything ready for this, you know, telling people in the hallway outside the studio to, hey, keep it down a little bit. You know, keep it down. And, you know, and again, he's got a huge heart. You know, we're here, you know, working as part of the Christian Center here, and you have so many people that are needing help that come here to see the light. And we are so, you know, grateful to have a place in our community where people can come to. But what we don't have here that Eric needs is a squirrel trap.
So I do. I finally picked up a have a heart trap.
Oh, you did?
I figure if I could capture Kevin in this trap, it'd be easier to terminate his little life form. But
and if you don't know who Kevin is, I posted this on Facebook, and you guys can go look at the post. And I said, to be continued. But he's named the squirrel. I'm sitting here. I'm holding in my hand. Now I sound like Johnny Carson. Holding in my hand. A wanted poster, and this squirrel you named, why did you name it Kevin?
Well,
it's like Home Alone. Kevin.
I apologize if there are any Kevins out there, but I've personally never known a good Kevin, never.
Do they all chew wires like this one does?
They probably do.
At least chew their fingernails. I don't know.
So I just kind of default, you know, well, let's call him Kevin. But I'm sure there are some good Kevins out there. I've just never come across one yet.
So the wanted poster that he made, it's pretty cool. And it shows a picture of the squirrel standing up and looking at him, and it says, name, Kevin. Wanted for, chewing wires. Strengths, being chubby. Fears, loud noises and sudden movement. Ours would be barking dogs. My dog loves to chase him. And then notes, cash reward for his capture.
Yep.
You might be getting a lot of messages after this. I'll do it, buddy.
Yeah, I'll come out there and get him. I think there's a couple squirrel nests up in the tree.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So I need to get rid of this nest, but yeah. Old Kevin, man, he's out there just chubbying around in the yard.
Do you ever wonder how these squirrels, like when these big windstorms and rainstorms and snow and hail and everything, these dudes survive.
Yeah.
And they're 60 feet up in a big oak tree.
I know it. It's crazy.
I wish, I mean, the way that they are able to build their house out of sticks and leaves and gather, you know, stuff to last the whole winter and these freezing temperatures, they're bad little creatures.
Yeah.
They're awesome. In some ways.
Yeah, in some ways. Other ways, they're horrible little tree rats, but.
Yeah. I think I said something about that in the post today. I forget what I called them. I said these little furry rodents, you know, cute furry rodents, I think is what I said.
Yeah.
But I saw you showed me some other pictures. He showed me a picture of this one branch that broke off when the squirrel got on it.
Did you post that?
No, I posted the wanted poster, but I didn't. I'll put that back up so you guys can see it.
Yeah, well, post up that branch because, I went over there because my neighbors were retired and they're elderly and they're going to need help with this. And they told me what happened. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, Kevin, guarantee it's Kevin.
How big around was that branch?
Big as your leg.
Holy cow. That's a big squirrel.
Yeah, they said, he's just a menace. He's just a menace to society.
Kevin the Menace, related to Dennis.
Yeah, they're probably at least cousins.
Yeah, we got them, and I've talked about that. They got up in, like, the soffit underneath, you know, my roof and everything, and I haven't heard them. I haven't seen them up there. I haven't heard them at all. I don't know if they just were having a day out, you know, running on my roof or whatever. I've got a little cherry tree that kind of, like, it leans, and they can jump. You know, really far. So I think that's what they did, but I don't think it's secure enough that they felt like, hey, let's build a nest there.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that's the case. Well, anyhow.
I want to give a shout out to our listeners again from all over the world. But whoever this is in India is still going strong. And
love
again, it.
It
just says city, not applicable. And I don't know what that means. So it has that on a few cities in the U.S. too. United States of America, city not applicable. I don't know.
Yeah. If you guys, like, when you hear, here's something we would love to do. We have a map that shows, you know, like sometimes it'll show like Chicago area. We have no clue. And we're not asking for your address. But it'll show all over the country. It just kind of shows us what countries it's in. Yeah. If you want to go to, you know, the unleashed.men website, and you'll see where you can email us through there. We'd love to know, you know, like, don't give us, you know, your GPS location, but what city are you in? If you can do that, we really would love to know, because we'd love to give you guys a shout out.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking at, I mean, it's literally from all across the U.S., Africa, Europe, East and West, Australia. I mean,
that is
it's
so cool.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
When I was a kid, we had little, you know, little AM radios. And you could get like these, they would, the signal would skip like off the clouds or something. And I'd be getting, you know, something. I grew up in Pennsylvania, and I'd be getting like Chicago. It was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hey, I got another question for you before we get into this. How's your bike miles going?
It's going. Let's see. I looked at the odometer to tell you today. It's around 560.
Okay. So you were on your way to 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're past halfway. We're not to July yet.
Not to July, so I started out with 4-something, and then, yeah, so.
I've got one of those stationary bikes that I got, you know, when I found out that I had that diabetes thing, I got the stationary bike. And here's what I'm going to ask you, and maybe you know, do they make, like, a gel pad that you can strap? Because that seat is, like, kills you.
It's brutal on the Nards.
It is. It is. It is really, really brutal. So do they make, like, a gel thing that you can, like, put on that?
Yeah.
Well, I need to go get one.
Or just find a different seat. I found a seat that just works well for me, and I've been fine. But, yeah, or some gel shorts. I have those, too, so.
Or yeah. I could just stand up and pedal the whole time. No, thank you.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no. Well, this was kind of a neat week, and I hadn't even shared with you. I know 2 weeks ago, you know, we had, well, actually during the month of May, we were, you know, doing kind of our fundraiser that we were doing and saying, hey, become a member of Unleash Plus. And I was telling Eric when I came in here, Eric, I just added a whole bunch of stuff onto Unleash Plus. I had actually recorded an audiobook probably like 10 or 12 years ago, and it was Drive Time Adventures, The Hunt for a Man's Heart. And I just decided, you know what, let's just give that away as a part of Unleash Plus. You know, we already are giving away the Into the Wilds book. There's tons of stuff on there. And I went ahead and uploaded it one chapter at a time. So if you guys are Unleash Plus members, you're going to find that on there now. And here's the cool thing. It's all these kind of like what our podcasts are without the banter going back and forth. But it's, you know, the adventure story, bringing it back to the home front. But it's got the sound effects. You know, all the, like if you're in Alaska flying, you know, and there's like a Beechcraft Bonanza or something, and you hear the engines. You know, you hear, you know, the roar of the lion. You hear everything going through it. So I know a lot of kids have loved this.
Oh, yeah.
So, but here's a cool thing. I got a call, and it would have been I think it was last Friday. This is Monday. And the call came from out of state, and it was from Iowa. And this person, when he's really cool, when I said, hello, this is Brent, he goes, is this the Brent? And I'm like, well, the only one in this house. And he goes, I figured it'd be like your administrative assistant or secretary. And I said, no, we're not that big. We're not that complicated here. He says, I guess I just wasn't expecting to kind of get you. He says, we listen to your podcast every single week. And he goes, now our men's group is getting together on Saturday mornings, and we're listening through this stuff, and we're talking about it.
Nice.
And I went, well, that's what we kind of hoped from the beginning.
Yeah, that's kind of the point, yeah.
Yep. And that goes back to Unleash Plus, and we're putting questions to some of these podcasts that you guys can use. But when he called me, he says, you know, we're looking to have a speaker for an upcoming event. It's going to be like a game dinner. And also, well, you remember Don Higgins. We had him in one of the early podcasts. Actually, it was one of our most watched podcasts.
Yeah.
He's with I'm Chasing Giants. And he called me, I think it was on race day. I was at the Indy 500, and he said, man, we're doing a men's retreat, and we'd love to have you come. And I said, man, I'd love to be there. Let's figure it out. So if you're one of those places and you're looking to do something, I do go and I speak all over the place. That's my passion. That's why we're doing the podcast. But there's nothing better than being able to go and be face-to-face, you know, with you guys and the people that you bring in and you know, share life together. You know, sometimes I love going to these things and go, hey, I'll come in like the night before and let's go do breakfast with your guys.
Yeah.
And we can encourage them and then we'll do the event later in the day and maybe stay over and speak for Sunday or whatever. But
you get a lot of bang for your buck.
Yeah.
It's not just going in and speak and leave. It's really connecting. And
I got no interest in that. I did an event down, I think it was Silverdale Baptist, and I think it was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I remember when whoever, I don't know if it was the pastor who was walking me around, and he said, hey, we have a green room for you here. You can just stay away from everybody before the event. And I said, I didn't come here to stay away from everybody.
Yeah, you're there to connect.
And... And that was I mean, it's like 2,500 guys.
Wow.
I don't care if it's 25 guys, but that was big, you know? But I do. I love speaking for these, you know, whether it's men's events or conferences, you know, churches, whatever. And I've done thousands of these things over the past 20 years. And, man, just give me a shout. You can go to the Unleashed Men website. You know, you can get my contact information, and I'll be sure we connect somehow. And, you know, if I'm supposed to be there, you know, we're going to make it work. You know, if God's called me to be there, you know, I will be. So, again, you can reach out. Just go to the unleashed.men website and just type those words in your browser, and you'll find it. You'll get the contact information and all kinds of cool stuff. So, oh, let's see here. So, you know, back to the muscular squirrel here. It was, oh, what was it? It was about 6 weeks ago. I was, you know, doing some scrolling on social media, and I came across this thing. You know, Muscle and Fitness magazine has been around since, I think, 1938. And it was Joe Weider, however you say his last name. I think he was the founder of this thing. But being a kid, I used to love my one of my best friend's dads had a subscription to this magazine. And I was in there, you know, looking at these pictures of guys like, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Ronnie Coleman, Frank Zane and Platt, you know, these guys that were just amazing. And I was the, like, I've shared this. I was the smallest kid in my class. I mean, I was not just skinny. I mean, I was like frail skinny. And my buddies would say, man, you just got to eat more cake and more sugar. Well, that's great advice to put on weight. But I tried, you know, and nothing, you know, when I was a kid, I burned it right off. But when I saw this competition, I went, and it was called, you know, you can be the next Mr. Muscle and Fitness. I don't need that to make me feel better about me. But I did see it as a goal. I wonder, you know, being 63, almost 64 years old, and I still work out about 6 days a week. I thought, you know, this could be a neat platform way of being able to reach some people, especially, you know, some of you out there that are struggling with, you know, maybe obesity or the opposite of that, or you've got sugar issues like diabetes or heart problems or, you know, whatever. You know, maybe some of you out there has got some disabilities and you're thinking, I can't because, well, no, we're going to talk through that today. And there are things we can be doing, but I'll get into that in just a second. But, you know, in this competition, I made it from only the top 20 in my group advanced, and I'm competing against not just my age group, but everybody. I made it through the top 20. A week later, I made it from the top 15. Then I made it into the top 10. And this Thursday, and I'm currently number 2, I just moved up, which is crazy. I never thought that would ever happen. But this week, starting on Thursday, they'll start voting to make it, you know, I'll be in the top 5. So, and here's the thing, they have you doing it, you know, through social media votes. So if you guys are on Facebook, just look me up, Brenton Henderson, and you'll see me on there. Or the Unleashed thing, you know, our logo, you'll see that on as a part of my bio. And I'll try to remember to put the link in there on this podcast. I don't know if you guys are like me. I don't always just look at the content in the link. I just find a way, if I like a podcast, I just kind of start clicking on each episode. But if you want to, I'll put that link in there in the content this time, and you guys can go on. And if you would, I would appreciate your vote. I mean, this is kind of cool to be able to reach people and not just talk about spiritual stuff like we do or about, you know, renewing your mind, but taking care of our bodies because it matters. And I'm going to say something about that. That's kind of where we're headed today. So, like I said, next week starts the top 5, currently number 2. So, yeah, I never thought I'd make it this far, but it's pretty cool. And it is rewarding, not like in a narcissistic way, but when you do the hard work and you see something good come out of it, it does make you feel good because you have put in that. You know, Eric Scott over 500 miles, his goal was 1,000. And that's kind of where we need to be going with stuff. You know, if you're not growing, you're dying, right? It's like water moving. If it's a pond, it gets stagnant and you don't have life. But when you have moving water, you know, the oxygen and everything that's coming from that, you know, is what feeds life. And so we've got to do the things that are going to bring us life. So whether it be renewing our mind, whether it be, you know, taking care of our bodies, that's kind of where we're going. I was on a plane. It's probably been 6 or 7 years ago now. And I, you know, I was on the aisle seat and the woman in the middle, she was a fitness coach. And, you know, when I sat down, you know, she had on like a nice, I don't know what you call those, like workout outfits kind of a thing, like with, like, I don't know what to, you know, it's like the long pants and the long sleeves shirt, but it's like made to be like a runner's kind of an outfit. And she was reading a copy of this fitness magazine. And, you know, I didn't say anything at first, and she started talking. And so I just kind of was listening, and we got into a conversation. And she said that she loved being a fitness coach. And she said the reason why is she said, you know, through taking people through her fitness program, she can help them change how they feel about themselves. You know, if they're overweight, you know, she can help them change their body type by losing a lot of weight, and they can feel better about themselves. And I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, I agree with part of that. And so I asked this question. I said, but what happens if they put the weight back on? Do they have to go back to hating themselves? And she just looked at me. She was speechless. So do we have to hate ourselves if we're not the perfect body type, or we can't compete with others? How do we get to the place where we can love ourselves right where we are right now? And I've shared about my childhood, you know, in some of the earlier podcasts, about how skinny I was. And, you know, I was the kid that always got picked on. And I guess people would say to me, you know, has that been a motivator for you to, you know, get into shape and build muscle or whatever? Or I was in the martial arts for years. You know, were those things motivators? And I'd probably be lying if I said it wasn't a motivator. But that was honestly just a motivator to kind of, you know, pull start on a mower. It just got me started. You know, what about, you know, looking at some of my heroes as a kid, like, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger or Bruce Lee, you know, are those motivators? And I would say, yeah, they were an inspiration, but here you go. The biggest contributor to getting in to and staying in shape was and is two things: discipline and consistency. You know, it's getting up earlier to fit a workout in. It's not about eating a bunch of stuff that I know is working against my body. It's working around injuries and not making excuses when I'm not feeling the best. You know, how do you feel about yourself if you're not where you want to be physically or emotionally or even spiritually? So that's what I want to unpack here. So let's just kind of go with, and we're talking about our body, we're talking about our minds. If we go to 1 Thessalonians, it's 5:23. You know, Paul tells us we're made up of three parts. We have a body, and that's the thing that we can see. We have a soul, and that's where our thoughts, you know, our choices and our will and emotions come from. And then we also have a spirit, the most important part, the eternal part. So which one of those can we improve on? And I want to jump right into the answer. I'm going to go that backwards. Because see, once I receive Christ as Lord and Savior, I'm now filled with His righteousness, His good enough. And it's something that I can't improve on because I'm already complete in Him because He put His Spirit inside of my spirit. So at my core, I can't make that any better, and I can't make it any worse because I screw up. And the beautiful thing is when I'm living in that spirit place, I don't have to compare myself with anybody else, because that's where I'm already good enough. You know, I don't even have to compare myself with Billy Graham, because Christ in me is what makes me, you know, who I am. You know, it's Christ in me that gives me the ability to make better choices, because the flesh would always want the easy way out. Let me say that again. The flesh always wants the easy way out. We, all of us, would choose pleasure over hard work. That's how the flesh is wired. Now, I'm not saying like on a daily basis, but we know that we'll even try to find an easier way to get something done. And sometimes it's the hard way we're doing things that really helps create, you know, within us, you know, a strong will, that overcoming spirit. But I'm going to make, you know, I'm going to make choices that aren't good for me when I'm living out of, you know, the flesh. So one of the questions, you know, we do have a free will, and the things that we do to our body, you know, what we put in our body, it comes from the choices that we make. So what choices are you willing to make? You know, even if you're born with a disability, you can still make the best choices for you. You know, when your worth and value doesn't come from how you see yourself in the flesh or even how others see you. You know, I've said this before, confidence isn't walking into a room thinking you're better than everyone else. It's walking into a room knowing you don't have to compare yourself with anyone else. That's the power of knowing where your one true identity comes from. What we do know about ourselves is something that God does want us to know, that when we, as individuals that he created, when we put in the hard work, you know, whether it be through our job, you know, in our study time, in our relationships, you know, or taking care of our bodies, when we put in the time, we're going to feel better about ourselves. And that's how it's supposed to be. Not from looking better than someone else or making more money than them, but it's about showing up and doing whatever it takes to move forward. You know, it's not the end product, right? That a good enough doesn't come from the end product. It's like when they say, you know, the journey is the destination. But it's about the process of getting there. And it answers a lot of deep questions that we all have, like, can I do it? You know, as a kid, like I told you, being that skinniest kid and getting to where now at 63, almost 64, and I'm in second place right now in this after like 6 weeks of this competition or whatever. I don't want to be like prideful about that, but I want to take pride in what I did, all that hard work. Also understanding that it was God that enabled me to be able to have the mindset to be able to do these things. But, you know, we all ask that question at times, you know, can I do it? And the answer is, yeah, your worth and value comes because Christ is in you. But when I do understand that I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength, that's where I'm able to find the strength to discipline myself and to follow through and to do the hard work. You know, when we realize that our mind and our bodies, this is the temple of God. When we get that he created us, that we don't belong to ourselves, we begin to look at things a little bit different because I know now my body is not my own. It was gifted to me from the one who made everything there is. So let's talk about our body and soul for a few minutes because those are the two things we can change. Like I said, your spirit, Christ in you, you can't improve on that. But he has given us a body. He has given us a mind. And what we do with those things, really how our quality of life is going to go and how we can serve others and serve him, it comes down to us taking care of those things. So, you know, all of us need support and encouragement. And so that's what I want to offer you now. You know, I just said a second ago, you know, I've made it now like into the top five of this competition. And it's not about where I place, but it was, for me, it was that I was willing to risk. I've got pictures of me growing up, even when I was 48, that I would be totally embarrassed for anybody to see. I even asked Stacy one time, I said, you think I should do like this before and after, you know, like at 48 and at 63? She goes, no, do not show that picture. Okay, that gave you a lot of confidence. Anyhow. But no matter where I finish, you know, I feel better about me because I showed up. I put in the hard work, not just for a few weeks or months, but I'm talking years. And I want it to be that way until I no longer can, you know, or whenever God, you know, chooses to take me home. It matters to my own personal health and well-being, you know, both mentally and physically. And it matters to my wife, you know, the energy that I have for her, you know, taking care of myself. It matters to my kids, you know, and here's the thing too. You guys listening to this, you know, I do a lot of stuff in the outdoors. Well, it matters to the outdoor ministry that I do because I need to stay in shape and still, you know, be able to go out and speak and do crazy adventures. And I want to be an example to the men that I'm speaking to because if I'm going to talk the talk, you know, I need to be willing to walk the walk. And it builds respect when you do that. It builds trust when you do that. And those really are vital in inspiring and influencing others. So, you know, people walk up, had it happen yesterday, Kroger, and they'll ask me, you know, hey, I you kind of look like you're in shape. How old are you? And then I go, oh, I didn't figure that. And then they'll say, well, hey, what workout should I do? And that's what, you know, when you take care of yourself, people go, okay, I want that. And they say, how did you do it? And then the next question is, what workout do I need to do? And I always respond with the same thing. Whatever workout you'll do, just pick one and then decide that you're going to do it. I had a call from a guy in Muncie the other day, and we got into a conversation. He'd been something I'd spoken at recently, and he says, do you go to a gym? I said, no, I just do it at home. I just decided I'm doing it, and I do it. But how do you stick with it? You know, here's the simple answer on that. You have to tell your mind to tell your body, we are doing this. Because your body wants the easy way out. You know, when we find ourselves getting on the couch at night, what are we grabbing? We're grabbing, you know, some chips or crackers. And my doctor's even told me when men put on those extra weight, you know, when they start getting into their 40s and 50s, It's in the evening, they get bored, and we just reach for something to make us feel better. And then what happens? We feel worse about ourselves. And we just have to get to the place where we go, uh-uh, no more excuses. I don't care what body type you are. I don't care where you are on your fitness journey right now. You'll have more respect for yourself when you get it started. Because that's the biggest hurdle, is getting this thing going. Don't make excuses. Well, I have to find the right workout. No, I don't care if you got to curl, you know, pork and bean cans to get things started. No, you got to do something. Because if you don't respect yourself, others don't respect you either. So we need to be setting the example. That's not a shame-based statement. You know, it's something that we need to be doing. About two episodes ago, I talked about the straight stick and the crooked stick. Maybe you remember, it was Randy Phillips. He was the former president of Promise Keepers. And I was talking about, you know, like I think at that point I was talking about like the sinful life and the godly life, one being like a straight stick and the other one being like a crooked stick. And I was saying, you know, you don't have to, you know, point out how many bends are in the other person's stick. Just lay down the godly life, you know, the straight stick next to it. It's the same thing, you know, with working out, one being a healthy life and one being an unhealthy life. You don't have to point out how many bends are in the crooked stick. You just need to lay down the straight stick next to it so that it can see for itself that changes need to be made. And we all want changes to be made. We know when we're getting things out of whack. And everyone wants to be the person who's going to be willing to do whatever it takes. But we've come to believe these lies. That'll never be us. And it's because we're always comparing ourselves with others. So let's take this back to Scripture now. Not just my opinion or what magazines say or whatever. But in Galatians 6, it says, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you've been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. Boom. There it is. Listen, it says, don't be impressed with yourself. Why? Because that creates arrogance. Don't compare yourself with others. Why? Because it creates insecurity and pride. You know, we have to identify who we really are in Christ. What does that do? It creates humility and confidence. We have to, like it says, identify the work that we've been given. That's our purpose. And then we have to take responsibility and sink ourselves into it. That's the roadmap. That's our spiritual GPS. So let me kind of give us an example. And this is my routine, not necessarily yours, but I know some of you are like, you're not sure what to do, how to get started. So I work out I work out 6 days a week. You know, if I'm traveling, I don't make excuses. I'll do something in my hotel room if I have to, or try to find the gym in the hotel. But I look at my schedule and I try to figure out, you know, what each day was the best time frame that I have to get my workout in so that I can balance, you know, everything else or my most important people, you know, in my day. So I have it structured in my life, you know, that I eat breakfast, and then like very shortly after that, I make a workout drink, you know, to give me the energy and recovery supplements that I need. And I work out for about 45 minutes to an hour. And then within 30 minutes of that, I take my workout shake, my protein shake, because you have to give your muscles back what they need to repair and grow because you've just torn them down. And I choose to do my workouts at home. And here's why for me. Now, some of you might like the social aspect of it. To me, it's a distraction. I don't have to drive to a gym. That takes time. I don't have to get, you know, dressed a certain way because that takes time, causes me to compare myself with others. And then I, you know, that whole thing of getting distracted, you know, with all the things, you know, within the gym, you know, I don't have others that are around me tempting me to compare myself with them. And I know that sometimes those environments can cause us to kind of back away from stretching ourselves or trying maybe even a new piece of equipment. Because if you're a novice, you get intimidated because you're not sure what to do and you don't want to look like the dummy. Well, part of this is going to be I'm willing to look like the dummy because once I know how to do it and I can work it into my program, I'm going to be better for it. And now I can even help somebody else. So, you know, if you're afraid of that environment, or maybe you're someone who can't function well, get started at home. And if a gym is something that's going to help motivate you, then you do that, okay? So anyhow, you know, getting up and following the same routine, you know, it takes a lot of discipline. There's no question around that. you know, inspiration and motivation are important because people ask me, you know, what inspired you or what motivates you? And I talked about that earlier, like those magazines and stuff I was reading. There was definitely inspired, and there's some motivation that comes from it. But it all starts with discipline. And that comes from asking yourself this question. What do I want to achieve in this life? Guys, you got one life. Make it a priority and discipline yourself. Discipline your mind to tell your body, we're doing this. I'm telling you, it's going to create massive changes in how you feel, you know, both mentally and physically. There's tons of studies on this. But at my age, you know, I have to be careful how many times, you know, I work out a certain body part per week because things just don't, you know, they break faster and they wear out faster. So you got to be smart, you know, whatever you're, and I want to encourage you to, you know, to get with your doctor before you start a workout program to see what's going to be healthy for you. You know, I think that's a given. But for me, the best results, you know, it came when I worked the major muscle groups, you know, hard just once a week, you know, not like every other day. I'm getting too old for that kind of stuff because my body, you know, needs, and yours too, probably needs more time to repair. So I do what's called a split routine. Now, abs are different. You know, I hit abs every day. I just hit them from different angles, you know, so that way splitting up your routine, it can cause and enable you to work a part of your body harder than if you combined it like with every muscle group into one workout. So you have to be smart. You have to be smart when you're working out. Take care of your body. And here's the other thing. Make sure you're giving it the right nutrition because you have just beat it up. And the thing that many of us miss, getting enough sleep at night is key. It is vital. How you're going to feel drained the next day is all going to be, you know, put into how you're going to feel when you're doing your workout. If you're too tired, you're either going to skip it or you're not going to give it the intensity that it needs to have. And I'm telling you, it's addictive. When you get back in discipline and you start doing this and you start seeing the gains. And the other thing, maybe your wife or your kid are saying, Dad, I mean, that shirt fits different, whatever. You do feel better about yourself. That's just being honest. It doesn't mean your worth and value comes from that. But that hard work that you've put in, all of a sudden you're seeing the payoffs for it. And it's a great feeling. So that's the body, okay? So we talked about spirit. Christ is in you. You can improve on that. But what about the soul where our thoughts, you know, our emotions, you know, where our choices are located? And so as we're kind of moving toward the end of this, I want to bring in a couple of scriptures that are key. And one is Romans 12:2, and the other one is out of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, Romans 12:2 tells us, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. This is chapter 10, and it's verses 3 to 6, I think. And it goes on. It puts a little more meat on the bone, and it says, the world is unprincipled. Now, this is out of the MSG. I didn't pull this out of the NASB or the NIV. This is just easy to understand, so I took it out of the, which is the Message paraphrase. But 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 6 says, the world is unprincipled. It's dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair. But we don't live or fight our battles that way, never have and never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entirely massive, corrupt culture. You know, this is a culture that wants to tell us what to think, right, rather than how to think. And then it goes on. It says, we use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God. Now listen, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse, which is the action, into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at the hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. If we don't learn to take our thoughts captive, remember I was saying a minute ago about how your mind has to tell your body, we are doing this. Your mind has that kind of power. Something I've never shared on here, and I'm going to, you know, Eric, I don't even know if I've ever told you this or not, but we had a guy in here one time in the studio, and, you know, when he was in college, he was a great ball player. But back in the day, a lot of those guys, you know, were doing, you know, roids and stuff. And I told you how I was this skinny kid. I've never really admitted this openly, and I don't care now. This is so many years ago. Who cares? But I wanted to look like some of those football players because they were respected. And I went to someone privately, and I had heard that this person had been doing roids and stuff. And I said, you know, would one cycle of doing steroids hurt me? And at the time, you know, it was like almost like candy to some of the football players and different athletes. And so I paid the money, and I got this bottle with these oral pills, and I was given a diet, a high protein diet. And I was told how many times to eat today. Here's my workout program. And for about probably 60 to 90 days, it was probably closer to 90, I put on like 15 pounds of muscle, which usually that's like what you'll do in a year if it's a good year. And I mean, I did everything to the book. And when it was all over with, that guy came to me and he goes, hey, I have to confess something. We put sugar pills in that bottle. You weren't taking steroids. He said, I know it was mean. He goes, I just wanted to kind of see what would happen with the power of the mind. If you really believe that what you were doing was going to cause you these great gains. And he says, I just learned a lot. Now, I'm embarrassed to say that. You know what was going on back then? I never did end up taking a steroid, but I wanted to. Why did I want to do that? Because I thought my worth and value was coming from what other people would think about me. We've talked about that so many times on this podcast. But if we don't learn to take our thoughts captive, like I didn't know how to do it back then. I was like 21 years old. I didn't know how to do this. I just knew I didn't like me and I wanted things to change. And I was trying to get around the hard work that it's going to take to be able to get there. There's no shortcuts. Even the guys that did do steroids. I remember when it came out with Barry Bonds, you know, who was one of the greatest home run hitters ever. They were so mad. Well, he still had incredible hand and eye coordination, and he had to put in the work. Steroids don't just build muscle. You have to put in the hard work. But I think it's so much more rewarding when you go, I didn't do that route, and I put in the hard work, and yeah. So anyhow, but if we don't learn to take our thoughts captive, that we're going to continue to struggle. And those struggles are going to cause us to become, you know, bitter and angry and afraid or feeling hopeless, you know, or worthless. And we're going to quit. We start comparing ourselves with others and we feel like I'm never going to get there. And you choose not to do the shortcut route, but you decide to put in the hard work. And if it doesn't happen quick, you go, you know what? This is too hard. That's exactly what the enemy wants. See, what the enemy doesn't want you to do is this is interesting. I was thinking about this. He doesn't want you to add the letter E after the letter I in the word quit. God wants us to come to him with all of these negative thoughts and emotions and to be still in him, before him. In other words, when you add that letter E after the I, you get the word quiet. He wants us to be quiet in our spirits. It's in that spirit that is in us as believers where we will find our true identity. And that is where every good and powerful thing flows from. Now, as I kind of take this to a close today, I want to go back to Luke 6, 42 to 45. And again, this is out of the Message paraphrase. I just love the wording on this. It says, you don't get wormy apples off a healthy tree, nor good apples off a diseased tree. The health of the apple tells the health of the tree. You must begin with your own life-giving lives. It's who you are, not what you say and do that counts. Your true being brims over into true words and deeds. Your true being, Christ in you. When you get your mind right, you get your body right. And what happens then? You get your life right. So stop making excuses, renew your mind, and let's become together who we were created to be from the very beginning. Warriors, overcomers, and children of God. You have what it takes. I believe in you. We'll see you next time.